Malik Vocation Seminary, and I'm ordained now to the diaconate. I'll be ordained to the priesthood the 1st of June. Question. And on that
question,
day,
question.
What is late vocation?
Which means I'm older than Michael. Are the usual people who come in. On the day I'm ordained, I will also marry my son. Okay, so that will tell you something, is that I was married for 24 years. I had three sons. I lost a wife, and I lost my oldest son. So all of those things are means that God uses, not for the evil, but for the good if we are disposed to his grace and work that way. So the sacraments of service, these two, that being marriage and holy order, are meant to, and I'm going to follow this, I really don't want to read this, but are meant to follow the sacraments of initiation, those sacraments that are the foundation for everything else, okay? For baptism, which incorporates us into the church and the body of Christ, the confirmation, which strengthens the Holy Spirit that we've received at baptism and First Communion, of course, that nourishes us all and gives us the strength each and every day to receive God's grace and then to use it in our vocation, okay? Our vocation being the laity primarily. That's all of you, okay? And me, oh, by the way, okay? Because when we're baptized, we're all baptized into what's called the common priesthood. We're all priests. We're all priests. That's what God originally intended with Adam and Eve. And I'll cover that in a second. But we're all priests. The difference is, and we all have certain functions. To sanctify the world, to teach and proclaim the world, and to lead and govern the world. Those are what we call formally three munera, three offices. Priestly function, a prophet function, and a kingly function. Okay? So, on this sheet, what I've done, just to explain this, is just to give you a background in everything I'm going to talk about. Then I'm going to talk about holy orders and matrimony, and there's no way to give it justice, just like the Holy Trinity. How do you talk about the Holy Trinity in 45 minutes? I mean, that's impossible. If you did it, teach me. Show me.
There's a video with little leprechauns, and they're pretty good.
Hopefully, he did not do that.
Did you do that?
You showed a four-leaf or three-leaf clover.
No, it was just a funny video.
Oh, okay. And then on the back, what I did, and I have them for all the sacraments, but particularly for matrimony and the holy orders, you'll see it. It's a real helpful matrix. I don't know. Has anybody seen anything like this? This has been broken out. Oh, it shows the sacrament, who's the minister of that sacrament, the scripture, and not all the scripture, but the important scripture that underlies each one of these, the required state, the frequency, the effect, the form and the matter. Okay? Do you understand form and matter? Form and matter go with everything. It's a philosophical principle that you and I, okay, made in the image and likeness of God, are made body and soul. We're material, all right, but we're also spiritual. And so that's form and matter. Our souls give form to our body, All right? So when we die, the material may die, but our souls will continue on. You know that. You realize that. They're immortal. They'll remain for eternity. It's just a matter of after the resurrection of the dead, which we believe in, you know, and are we joined with God or are we separated from Him because of our sins? That's another story. That's the sacrament of reconciliation. No one believes. So, anyway, so, you know, look through that, read through that, and they've got references to Scripture, they have references to CCC. I hope you know this by now. CCC is a catechism of the Catholic Church, and hopefully everybody has this. These are the two most important things you should have on yourself. I mean, you know, the Holy Bible and God's Word and how we've taken God's Word and implemented it in our lives, okay? This isn't to be read cover to cover. It's to go into a different parts, your four parts, and understand, particularly today, you know, what are the sacraments and then the sacraments of service and communion, they call it. And then another book that we in the church follow, and it gives us, you know, everything you do, you work for a restaurant. You have certain rules and regulations you follow, right? Federal law, state law, city law. You even come up with your own particular law at the restaurant, there's no doubt, so that employees know what they're going to do, right? So they know right from wrong. The church does the same thing, and it does it in what's called the code of canon law, okay? And so not that you guys would ever read it, but if you ask me a question, you know, let's say about annulments or about divorce or about anything that is particular to the church, you know, one of the first things your pastor or priest ought to do is go consult canon law. Okay. Any question about that? So, sacraments of service. What does that mean? What's that mean to you? Service. A sacrament of service.
Helping others.
Okay. I mean, helping others.
Giving of yourself.
Giving of yourself. Okay, that's a different aspect. Giving of yourself in order to serve others. Why? Why we ought to do that? I mean, I know plenty of people who don't care anything about serving anybody else. Do you? I mean, they keep to themselves. They find happiness in making money, let's say. We all know people like that. They work hard at work. They're in your work environment. By the way, I'm retired military, 27 years military. I've been a defense contractor. I've worked in Chicago Public Schools for 5 years on the south side. I was a long-haul truck. So I've been there and done that. And I've seen people, and I know you have too, that they focus on themselves. I'll raise my hand. Okay? So I've been there, done that, and been beat down. And been beat down because that God didn't intend that to happen. He didn't meant for us to be individuals. He meant for us to be in communion with one another, to unite with one another. And so this sacrament of service is a means by which we serve particularly other people. We go beyond ourselves, we come out of ourselves to selflessly serve others. Why?
Love of neighbor.
Love of neighbor, but why? Why am I going to love my neighbor? Why did Martin Luther King love his neighbor? What was his intent? What was his motive? Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, what I said was following Jesus' example.
Okay.
What it is that he's called us all to do.
But why did Jesus want to do that?
Salvation of souls, like to help other people get to heaven.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just simple. I'm not trying to make this hard. This is so we're building a team. I mean, we're all in the body of Christ. Okay, we're all members, you've heard this, okay, in Corinthians, we're all part of, or in Ephesians, we're all part of the body of Christ. We're all members. And if one needs help, we all should help. Because the arm can't exist by itself, the eye can't exist by itself. Anyway, so we're all here to help build up the body of Christ. Whether it be in the sacrament of holy order or whether it be in the sacrament of marriage. Okay, so those, and I'm all the way down now to about point number six. Those who receive the sacrament of holy order are consecrated, and that's a special term, in God's name to the ministerial priesthood in order to feed the church by word and grace. Now what that means, I said that we were all in a common priesthood by our baptism. Okay, we all have a responsibility. What did I say? Who was the first one? To be
priest.
Okay, which means to sanctify others. We'll talk about that in a second. Just priest,
prophet,
we're all teach and proclaim. And third?
King.
And king. Okay. We're all our kings. Yes, we're meant to be kings, to lead and govern our families, our marriages, and in the workplace. Not in the sense that the political world or the secular world thinks of, but in the sense of a spiritual nature, spiritual leadership. Fathers, men in their families need to be the spiritual leaders, says Ephesians. Okay? Or says St. Paul in the letter to Ephesians. You know, this is God's plan. Okay, in the sacrament of holy orders, or in the sacrament of matrimony, we're consecrated, and by Christ, marriage has been around for a long time. How do two people get married? Does a priest marry or a deacon marry? Will a deacon or priest marry you?
Priest.
No. You marry yourself. It's a mutual consent. The priest or the deacon, okay, is there to sanctify that in the eyes of God. Or if you go to a judge, all right, a civil authority. Can you still get married? Who marries you? The judge? No. You marry your spouse through mutual consent. Unimpeded now, without any threat or coercion or so forth. Okay, you marry in the church though with a priest. Why? Instead of a judge. So you receive all the graces, all the helps, all the aids that God wants to give to you so that you've got a fruitful marriage. Okay? All right. So it's a partnership for the whole of life, which is ordered by its nature established by God, to the good of the spouses and the procreation and education of offspring. Its essential principles are indissolvability. God intended marriage, I'll get to it in a second, to be indissolvable. But we know we got trouble adhering to that. And they did back when Jesus was around too. And unity built on mutual consent. Okay. So all the sacraments, all I've talked about here, are founded in Holy Scripture. And that's what we believe, okay? As Christians or some, you know, people who are making our way on the road to baptism in RCIA. All right? If we're having trouble believing that, anything I've just said, All right? Then seek the truth. And if you're having difficulty seeking the truth, then find somebody like a priest or a deacon or another layperson to help you out in helping discover that truth. All right? But everything we do is founded on faith. God didn't heal Jesus when he walked the earth. Couldn't heal anybody without what?
Faith.
Without faith. He couldn't heal anyone without faith. And if they didn't have the faith, he couldn't heal them. So, all right. Any questions up to now? Now, what you see back here, all right, and other things, and I didn't bring all my popular resources, is that everything I'm saying can be found by you. If you're having trouble with anything I'm saying, can be found on the web. We all know that the internet has all the answers, and the truth lies in the internet, of course. But one of the things that this parish affords to you, and all, I don't know about anywhere else, but I know in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, every parish allows you to get on to form.org and go to a wide range of catechetical teachings, of movies, has anybody been on there? Has anybody searched that?
Yeah.
There's an app.
Great resource.
It's on your phone.
Yeah, and you can do it on your phone, too. All right? Now, I've been involved in RCIA, teaching RCIA for a long time, even before 25 years. But in fact, my daughter-in-law-to-be is in RCIA right now herself. So I'm trying to keep up with her, help her if she's got any questions too. And so, but form uses particularly, and I want to highlight Symbolon. Symbolon is a great resource from Augustine Institute that you can go to. In session number 5 here, they talk about marriage and holy order, you know, and Ed Shree, who's a wonderful, you know, theologian, takes you through that. Brent Petrie, have you ever heard of Brent?
No.
I mean, the 7 sacraments. I got it down here. The 7 sacraments of Jesus, or Scott Hahn. Scott just came out with what's called the First Society. Marriage is the first society. It's the domestic church. Okay? Christopher West has a great book that you ought to read. Everyone ought to read. Good News About Sex and Marriage. Okay? And Theology of the Body. All right. So let me get to... So, I mean, there's no excuse not to know about this on your own, even though we've got like 15 minutes. All right. So let's talk about these in a little more detail. Any questions right now? Hopefully I'm not boring you. Hopefully, you know, marriage. Let me start with marriage because most of us are most familiar with that sacrament of service first. We all aspire to be with people. Anybody here or know of anybody who just wants to be alone?
Not all the time, but a lot of the time.
Now, understand this. You got to understand what alone means.
Not like a clinical diagnosis.
Because I'm going to tell you, you're never alone. I don't care whether you want to be alone or not. You are never alone. All right? And, of course, what do I mean by that? Is that God is always at your side. All right? So, you got people who just want to separate themselves and be off. And that's fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, and isolate themselves. We've got hermits and things like that did that for a spiritual purpose. You got people who want to renew themselves. Yeah, I mean, that's fine. But then you got people who will do that. I know very personally, my son took his life, my oldest son, all right? And he had post-traumatic stress disorder. He was a veteran. And he had a real crisis in faith and then began to isolate himself. If you find people who are isolating themselves, don't let them do it. Do not let them do that. Okay? We were meant to be together. We were meant for community. Okay? So, God creates man, and I'm going to sacramental words, and breathes into Adam, into the face of Adam, who is made, and think about these terms, who is made the minister of the garden sanctuary, right? To till, to work, and to keep and guard it. When you take a look at the first creation account, we're meant to do the same thing. Okay, Adam, in this sense, is humanity, okay? Man, in the first creation account, is humanity. We're all meant to work. We're not meant for retirement. We're not! Who's ready for retirement?
Never gonna happen.
I retired in 2002, and my friend said, How come you're not playing golf every day? How come you're not? You got to be serious. God made us to be active participants in the world. Okay? So if you got people who say they don't want to work, then like St. Paul says, they shouldn't eat. But I won't go there. But they need to be pulled in, and you need to help them pull it in and to work and to guard the temple. Jesus breathes on his apostles and gives them the power of retaining sins or forgiving sins, remember that? Or he sends them out to imitate him in the world. Okay? And that was a mission he received from his father. He didn't just come up with that mission. He was sent by his father on mission, okay? To bring mankind to eternal life. So in holy orders, okay, holy orders is a divine, not a man-made, it's a divine institution. God made it, all right? And then we are to take that as in holy orders, okay, take that, blessed by the bishop, and then become ministerial priests in the priesthood. Okay, and then that is then used to sanctify the world. But back to marriage. So, and I don't want to keep jumping back and forth. But these two are tied intimately together. Okay, the priest isn't just, or the deacon, just isn't, or the bishop just isn't over there, and I'm over here. Okay, there's no separation between the two. Okay, one has particular responsibilities than the other, but these are intimately intertwined with one another, and their character and their mission is intertwined with one another. Okay, so I'm married, so my son passes away. I lost my wife, not by death, but spiritually. She had a real spiritual crisis. We had a tough time in Chicago, with Chicago public schools, particularly on the south side. And she was 19 when we got married. I was 24, so we were pretty young. And She just said, okay, it's just time. I'm going to go off and do my thing. Anyway, I don't want to get in a long story about that, but the fact of the matter is that we then took a good hard look at the truth of that marriage and found that it had some, or the church did anyway, some impediments, we call it, to that yes. That yes is that same yes that Mary gave, okay, which was free, total, fruitful commitment, okay, is the same yes that anybody who's married here ought to have given. And when we looked at it, okay, through the eyes of the church, with a lot of help from the church, okay, we found it was defective, that yes was defective. Young age, immaturity, we only went to one weekend for marriage preparation. I mean, just a whole lot, so we didn't know really a whole lot about marriage. So, I mean, a lot of things. So a lot of things depend on that yes of the marriage. And that's why...
I have a question. This is like a clarification question. So then, like, annulment is saying that the marriage was never, like, sacred in the eyes of God.
No,
right?
Never existed.
Because of these impediments that happened. Okay.
Which doesn't mean the children are illegitimate. There is still a union there between the husband and the wife. They're still a husband and wife, and they're still together. They gave some form of consent, okay, mm-hmm. before witnesses. But it wasn't the consent in the eyes of God, mm-hmm. okay, in the eyes of God, that was appropriate for a lifelong marriage.
Yeah. Why is annulment like such a rigmarole, I guess, to go through? Because like my dad was married before he was married to my mom, got divorced but never got an annulment. So like I was baptized Episcopal and just joined the church last year, mm-hmm. and like he still hasn't gotten that marriage annulled, but still very much wants to like be a part of the Catholic Church. Yeah. But then they were. Like, my parents are going to renew their vows in the Catholic Church for their 25th wedding anniversary, and they were like, you can't until you get the marriage annulled, and you have to, like, contact all these people that you're no longer in contact with. Like, why? Can you explain that? Or do you know?
Well, I do know, because I'm working on an annulment
right now.
So yeah. Helping a lady right now.
Yeah.
Okay. We, even in the church, we get... We get caught up in the procedures of things that need to be done rather than into the substance of what needs to happen. And so, I don't want to take us off too far on this.
Yeah, I know.
But I'd be happy to talk to you about that.
Yeah.
Okay? Because it's all... Divorce looks at the end of marriage. Uh-huh. Looks at all the crap that happened during the whole thing, if you will. I call it crap because that's what actually brings it to the end. Uh-huh. Okay, while the declaration of nullity, uh-huh. I'd rather use the word rather than annulment, because uh-huh. everybody thinks it's a Catholic divorce. No such thing as Catholic divorce. Uh-huh. What you're looking at is... the courtship, mm-hmm. the family, the remote preparation, i.e. when you're a kid. We're prepared for marriage from the day we're born. Mm-hmm. And who are we prepared by? Our parents, mm-hmm. particularly, and by all those people. It's called remote preparation, marriage preparation. And then we get into the marriage preparation. So you're taking a look at the courtship, all of that, and then the day of the marriage, you know, What is the husband or the two individuals, you know, what's on their mind? What are they thinking? What are their motives? Where are they? And hopefully all that's been laid out. Mm-hmm. There can be a defect in the form of,
yeah.
okay, or there can be a defect in the impediments of ill knowledge. Maybe the person was pregnant or they were pregnant before I mean, there are a whole lot of different things. Let's talk afterward, because nine times out of ten, there's always an impediment.
Yeah, I mean, like, his wife cheated on him, which is why they got divorced. But then,
that's not a grounds for divorce.
Right. Yeah, I know. And
grounds for nullity.
Right. Right. But that's what like led to it. And then, So.
Unfaithful. Right. Infidelity. Yeah. That sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's understandable.
Yeah.
Let's talk afterward. Okay. Pope Francis is really, really focused on that, okay? And really focused on the love and mercy of God. And how can we, particularly in these cases, take a good hard look at a marriage, but make it more compressed. Like for me, I need to have all the documentation from it is a court of law, oh, by the way. Okay, so you have a petitioner, you have a respondent, you got lawyers, you got canon lawyers, you got someone who's defending what's called the marriage or the bond of marriage, someone who... So it is a process, okay? But it's all oriented on what is best for the church and for that couple, okay? And I say the church because, as I said before, we're all communal. This isn't all about just me or my marriage. It's about the church, the body of Christ, and society as a whole. Okay. So I'm out of time. And I did get into it. I mean, this is the last part of marriage. Marriage serves to build up the kingdom within the body of Christ. Sins against that dignity of the marriage and God's plan for its service to the human family exists. Why? We're fallible people. Okay? But if we're always trying our best to keep God ever unceasingly before us in holy orders, in marriage, and all that we do day in and day out, we find that from the beginning, God's intention of our original holiness and virtue becomes fulfilled. Okay? And we receive the graces that He intended for us. And those are true helps. Those are true. You're going to hear today, who's going to Mass? Hopefully everybody's going. You're going to hear in the gospel today of Jesus, the woman at the well, Samaritan. Well, I'm good. Actually, what I'm giving you is the gospel from the third Sunday in Lent, which I just celebrated yesterday in my practice Mass. Never mind. I'm getting my Masses confused.
We have Dr. Right? Petrie talking right next if you want to know what's coming.
You know, there it is. You ought to hunger for that. And that is the real presence of Jesus Christ, who gave the God of the universe gave His life completely for us. I mean, that is just an awesome mystery. And so, hopefully you got something out of this. Hopefully, as part of RCIA, you did. Take a look at the notes, take a look at the back. Take a look at the resources that are available if you got questions, and then certainly I'll be around, and hopefully I'll be there at I'm going to be at Easter Vigil, When is the baptism and confirmation and is that Easter Vigil?
Yeah, that's the one.
Easter Vigil. Yeah.
So I'll be there. I'll be the deacon. I'll be the deacon servant at that mass. So I'll be intimately involved with your coming in into the church. So thank you very much. Let's end with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Lord God, we open our mouths and our hearts and our minds and our souls so that you might sanctify us and bring us to a new life in you. For you are the way, you are the truth, you are the life that guides us in troubles and suffering and pain that we have, struggling in order to imitate you here on earth. But we know that when we dispose ourselves to your grace, that you are a help. We cry out to you day in and day out to give us the graces to sanctify our work, to allow us to be with people that we love, to give us those things that you know that we need in order to maintain our physical and our spiritual lives and emotional lives. And so we ask you, Lord, as brothers and sisters and in one body, to give us your grace. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son,
and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
To the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you for allowing me to be here.
Thank you so much.